Hey, everybody. Welcome back to episode 7. We're at 7 now, Jeff.
Lucky
Holy
seven.
cow. Lucky
Lucky
number 7.
seven.
Episode 7 of the Real Deal Pod with Alistair and Jeff. Once again, we're so happy that you've taken time out of your day to listen to us talk about real estate, mortgages, and what's going on and stuff like that. Jeff, my man, how you doing? How's your week been?
You know what? Weekend was good. Went down to Mexico again on Thursday with 25 small business owners with an organization called Baja Bound. We took the time and built a home for a needy family down there. We did it all within 2 days. So we left Friday, or sorry, Thursday. We got into Tijuana, about an hour and a half outside of Tijuana, called Ensenada. We started banging out a house at about 1:30 in the afternoon. And on Sunday, no, on Saturday, actually, that was Friday. Saturday, probably at about 5, 6 p.m., that house was up. And the following day, we introduced the family to their home, and they went from kind of a ragtag kind of shamba with a dirt floor into a home that had a cement pad, four walls, beds, furniture, food. Yeah, it was very, very cool.
Man, dude, that's phenomenal. Man, that's fantastic. Holy cow,
Yeah.
that's awesome. Congratulations. That is truly, truly phenomenal. Truly, truly phenomenal. My sister and my brother-in-law and my niece and nephew, and then my mother and my father, they did that for 2 years out in Mexico as well with their church. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Truly,
It's
truly.
crazy when you have a lot of hands doing a project on how quickly and how efficiently you can do it. So yeah, I would encourage anybody that's into giving back, check out Baja Bound. It's a very short trip. It's very quick. You're in, you're out, and you know, you're leaving just before the weekend, and you're coming home on Monday, so you're not missing too much work. And again, just seeing an opportunity to give back to a needy family, it's just very, very satisfying.
That's the biggest thing, right? It's the giving back. That's huge, man. It makes my heart smile. I love hearing other people doing it. I've never mentioned, I don't know if I actually mentioned it to you. I do Make-A-Wish. So I'm a wish granter with Make-A-Wish.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm a wish
Okay.
granter with Make-A-Wish. So that's always been a big part of my being, is being able to give back. And in fact, Michelle on Monday has her interview. She's decided to join Make-A-Wish as well to become a wish granter. So she has her interview on Monday, her final interview to go through the process and the
Well,
training.
what exactly is a wish granter? What tell me more about that.
So as wish granters, it's for children that have an illness, right? And so most people, the misconception is it's a terminal illness, right? Now, a lot of times, does this illness become terminal? Unfortunately, yes, but there is a lot of recovery. But it is a child that has a wish that they want. And a lot of times it's to travel somewhere or to meet somebody. And so yeah, so we do those wishes now. And in the interim, we do stuff like their little short wishes, right? So they're little lead ups into the big wish, right?
Nice.
So yeah, so you get a little family and you become the wish granter. And so your job is to get those little short-term wishes lead ups until the big unveiling. And it's really rewarding. It's really, really fun. It's great to meet the families, and it's just great to give. So
Yeah.
that's the thing. It
Yeah.
makes me smile. I could go on talking about this like crazy, but yeah, Michelle's super excited. And I'm hoping that she's going to be able to do it in time, because Make-A-Wish is putting on a foam race. They're part of the foam race, and here
Okay.
finally the 4K foam race. And so want to be part of that, because foam
Cool.
races are awesome,
Yeah.
giving is awesome. So it's kind of just a whole mix. I'm so excited.
If you got foam and you're giving back,
Right, that's fun, man.
What other things in life can you do?
That's what I mean. There's no better way to spend a Friday or a Saturday. Let me tell you, there's no better way to spend a Saturday afternoon. Yeah, man, that's awesome. As for me, for the weekend, to be honest with you, it was nice. It was half relaxing, half work. But the family's back, right? Back. They got back from Mexico on Wednesday. So it was really nice to have the weekend to just chill out, relax. I got bombarded with the pictures and all of that sort of stuff. We were able to take the time to sit back, watch the pictures and just relax and decompress. So it was a nice half relaxing, half work.
Yeah. No heavy sunburns.
No heavy sunburns. They all made it. Papa was exhausted. He's exhausted. He actually spent too much time in the sun, apparently the first day, second day, and then was wiped out, I think, subsequently for the rest of the for the rest of the vacation. But he enjoyed it nonetheless, because it's really getting time to spend with his daughter and the two grandchildren. So I know that for him, it's over the moon. Like these memories for him, that I can see it in his eyes. They are so precious. And it makes me, again, it makes me so happy to see him being able to spend that time with his kids and grandkids.
Well, in Mexico, there's two kinds of sunshine you need to be aware of. Is the sunshine and then that liquid sunshine. So both of them can get you.
Right. Exactly. Oh, hey, before we get into the pod, I'll mention it at the end. I'm excited to say, man, our reach is growing. We are now on iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, yep. YouTube, and shortly, I think, we'll be on Spotify, actually.
Yep.
Yeah,
not
man.
Surprised. Not
That's
surprised.
Wild. Actually, people may like us, man. This is crazy. What is going on?
Yeah. Two bald guys talking about real estate and mortgages.
Right.
That's like sugar and candy all in one.
That's what I'm saying. What better is there to listen to? What I'm saying, though, is, hey, listeners, I know that production may sound pretty low grade. If anybody wants to create us some intro music, because we don't have any intro music or nothing, we're literally just doing this stock, right? So if anybody feels free and says, hey, we feel sorry for these two guys, they need their production needs to improve a little bit, let me create an intro. As long as it's clean and nice, guys, like
these guys are way too talented not to have an intro.
That's what I'm saying, right? Yeah. So yeah, I just wanted to say that, hey man, the reach is increasing, and really it's all about helping people. And I think that's really, I hope, because that's what it's intended. I hope that's what it comes across as, actually. And that's what's helping our growth, is the fact that it's really a realtor and a mortgage broker that, yes, we do this for a living. And yes, our livelihoods, yes, do depend on you. But it's our job is not for us to depend on you. It's for you to depend on our knowledge and our expertise. And really that should be free. Right. And that, like, that's what I mean. Like, that's one of the things that my clients, I don't want them paying for this. You know what I mean? Like, this is stuff that I'm happy to give, but my representation and how hard I'll fight for you, whether you're buying or for the home and or selling your home, that's kind of what you pay for. But my advice and my knowledge, I'm always here to give. Right. And that's the biggest part, is the giving. That's, like I said, not just in the personal life, but in business too, is giving is huge.
I always like the saying, knowledge is power.
Right? It's the biggest thing, right? So to be able to take the time to do this again is great. And to be able to, and to know that you guys are listening and it's increasing our reach, again, so grateful and so humbled by your guys' support. So with that being said, let's get into episode number 7, because today we're talking about stuff like how can I get a mortgage, right? Just the bait, like how much can I afford?
Yeah, like how much can I afford? It's always interesting when people are connecting with you and asking you pretty much how much can I afford. And you know, I always tell people it is a very simple formula. If you know this formula, it will actually make you look a heck of a lot smarter than you are, which is always a great thing to do. But it is so simple to have a good understanding as far as how much you can afford. And I wanted to kind of take the time today and really break it down so you can have an understanding as far as What is my income? What are my debts? How much is my down payment? Will basically give you the formula as far as an ish number, as far as how much you can afford. So when people are doing pre-approvals with brokers or with lending partners or with banks, and it's taking them weeks to get an answer back, it should never take more than 10 minutes.
So you mean, is that referencing that one client that I told you that I had that was having an issue, unfortunately, with her mortgage person that she used, and it literally took 2 weeks for them to get back to her, and the deal almost collapsed? Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah.
I've worked on a file recently where a lender took 2 months to get back to the client to tell them that they couldn't get a $50,000 line of credit. That client came to us, and within 48 hours, we had a line of credit for them for $250,000. So why? And the answer is, I don't know, but it shouldn't be that complicated, right? So right. So I wanted to jump into it and really kind of give people an understanding as far as what that looks like. And here it is, Alistair. Every $30,000 of income that you earn will allow you to borrow up to $100,000. Now, back when rates were a little bit lower and we were kind of in that rate range of, 3%-ish, that income level was $20,000. You could borrow $100,000. Now, because our rates have increased, almost, to be honest, almost up to double, you now have to earn about $30,000 for every $100,000 that you can borrow. So again, let's keep it simple. If you are earning $60,000 of income, how much can you borrow is $200,000. Because again, every $30,000 that you earn means you could borrow $100,000. Right. So again, that's not for people to say, well, hey, my wife makes 60, I make 60, I make 120,000. Now, every 300,000 means that I can borrow 100. So that means now I can borrow $400,000. Yes, that's what you can borrow is 400, but then you also have to take a look at
your debt now.
Debts, right?
Yeah, that's the part that people forget. The biggest part is they forget they owe money.
They owe money. And again, a very simple thing to understand that every $400 payment you have takes away $100,000.
Yeah.
Every $14,000 of credit card debt you have or an unsecured line of credit that you have takes away $100,000. So I worked on a file. This gentleman made over $200,000. So again, making $200,000, roughly the guy could borrow around roughly about 700 grand, right? Ish. And then, but he had a $1,200 car payment.
Oh, man.
So that $1,200 car payment took away $300,000 of that borrowing power.
Yeah.
Right. And so again, it's also very, very important to understand that basically every $400 payment you have takes away $100. Now we talked about this other part before is that the average Canadian credit card debt is how much?
What is it? $12,000 or $13,000?
$26,000 is average Canadian credit card debt.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
so crazy. Every $14,000 of credit card debt that you have also takes away $100,000.
So basically, Canadians have lost $200,000 already, pretty much, because if it's 26, just rounding up, right?
Yeah.
That is insanity.
Right. And that's the reality of it is, and it's, it is that quite that it is that simple. It gives you an ish number. So when you are sitting down and trying to figure out how much you can afford or how much you're going to be able to get approved for, you simply take a look at your income, understand that every $30,000 ish allows you to borrow $100,000. You then take a look at your debts. Every $400 payment you have takes away $100,000. And then you take a look at your credit cards and your lines of credit, and every $14,000 that you owe takes away $100,000. You then add in your down payment, and then that will give you your purchase price.
Okay. So it's pretty easy.
it I don't know. Should that take you 3 weeks to figure out?
I don't think so.
Should that take you 1 week to figure out?
No, I'm fairly certain you should be able to figure out that if that at maximum 10 minutes, because somebody might interrupt you as you're finishing the math.
Right. And like I said, this isn't exact math, but it gives you a very good understanding if you are able to move forward with what you want to do, right? You don't need to be working, you should be working with a broker or a lending partner. When you are working with that lending partner and or that broker and or that financial institution, you should not be waiting weeks to get an answer back to see if you're able to move forward. In fact, that person, that institution should be able to tell you with a 10-minute phone call.
And again, I think this is the misconception that people have. And this is what I always stress as I've told you before, I teach new agents, and I really delve and drive in professionalism. We need to remember we work for them. Right. So I want the public to remember that we as realtors, we as brokers or the bank, we work for you. So if we're not getting back to you for 2 weeks, if your boss had asked you for something important, and you didn't get back to him for 2 weeks or her for 2 weeks, what would happen? More than likely, you're either getting written up at best or you're fired.
Yeah.
Right. So exactly. Why would you be so okay with a real estate representative who's helping you buy, like purchase the most expensive thing you're ever going to buy or sell the most prized possession of your in your life besides your children, as opposed to your children, or a mortgage broker, again, who's doing the same thing, doing the same job? We're not getting back to you for 2 weeks. That's crazy.
Yeah.
We're not doing our jobs.
I always say the same thing to people is that your broker, your realtor, your lawyer, your home inspector, whatever that person is you, they're an employee of yours.
Right.
You are not an employee of theirs.
Exactly.
You are doing them a favor by recruiting them and utilizing their service. And I'm just going to say it, if they're shitting the bed, what would you do to that employee?
You would fire them. Just like I said, just like you would be fired if you didn't get back to your boss for 2 weeks when they asked you for something.
Yeah. So I think that's a very good point, Alistair, is great. When people are doing financing or getting their financing done, when people are looking or selling or buying a place, remember, you are the captain of the ship. If you are not happy with the direction where that ship is going, you as the captain have the responsibility to find
make a change,
new people and make the change. And if you don't, understand that's a you problem now.
Right, that's exactly it. If the deal goes sour or if things happen and it wasn't as great of a riot as you were hoping it was going to be, that yes, because you didn't take the opportunity to say, hey, these people are not representing me properly. I need to make a change. Yeah, that now becomes on you, right? Now you can't yell at the realtor or the mortgage broker. That's on you because you should have made the change.
Yeah.
Now, I have a quick question. And I asked this because I remember early on in my career, I had a client. We started out looking for a property in Maple Ridge. Yeah, that's right. It was Maple Ridge, right? And at that time, just couldn't find what they wanted. So ended up moving all the way out into Chilliwack, right? And they found a place that they loved and it was no big deal, right? So when it came down to approval, we thought everything was going to be fine, right? But in fact, because the mortgage approval was for the search for a property that was they were searching for in Maple Ridge, they had an issue with the mortgage approval being done in Chilliwack. So added on a couple of days. I had never experienced that. I have never experienced that again. So I just wanted to see if that was a thing, because I just wanted to know, like, how do different neighborhoods maybe in British Columbia, like, affect mortgage options or anything like that? Is there anything, right, that varies significantly across neighborhoods or anything like that?
Well, in that particular situation, absolutely not.
Okay.
Right. Just
And that was
because.
a bad broker. Sorry.
Yeah, that just sounds a little bit of a.
Passing the buck
A
on because
little.
something can get filed improperly. Or...
Yeah. Yeah. Like again, we do mortgages all across Canada. So if we're doing a pre-approval, and we're doing a pre-approval and we're here in BC and we're doing a pre-approval for somebody that's in Alberta, it has no impact on where that pre-approval was done. It all comes down to what is your income? What is your debts? How much do you have for a down payment? This is what you qualify for, right? Regardless if you're in one neighborhood to the other or one province to the other. Now, there are times that say, for example, things can go a little bit sideways. Say, for example, when Abbotsford and the Fraser Valley had that huge flood, you know, if your property was in the floodplain, yes, that could have an issue with your pre-approval, but that doesn't necessarily mean where the pre-approval was done. What that means is where that area is and what's basically the risk of that area. It's no different than when people go and buy remediated grow ops. It's no different when people buy at times on native lease land. It's no different when people at times buy log homes or cottages. Like it isn't necessary where the pre-approval was done. You know, your pre-approval may go a little bit sideways on the property type that you're looking to buy, but by no means your pre-approval should be going sideways because it was pre-approved in Chilliwack and now you're buying a Maple Ridge. Like that's just
that's what I thought. Now, in all fairness, like it went through. It just took me having to get an extension, which for everybody, just so everybody knows, it's not always the easiest thing. Like mine normally go easy. But again, that a lot of it also hinges on the relationship that the two realtors have working together, right? If your realtor is getting documents and there's tight communication between the two agents, then an extension happening is usually fairly easy. It's usually just, hey, you know what? There's a little bit of a hiccup. This is where we're at. We'll be fine. I just needed a couple extra days, right? As long as that communication has been solid the whole way through, extensions are typically easy. But if you have an agent or have a broker and neither of them are communicative, then that extensions, those extensions, or sorry, not the broker, but the two agents, if those two agents aren't communicative in the process, then the chances of an extension happening are very, very small.
Yeah.
So that's why it's very, very important, as I always say, to have an agent that communicates, representing you, because that communication hinges on your on the sale, on the process of the sale or purchase of your home.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So and that's what I thought.
The other thing that I think it's really important to understand and really kind of having a number fact in your pocket is that on what does it cost you for every $100,000 that you borrow, right?
Right.
And I think it's always important because it always comes down to the affordability as well when you're purchasing a place, because you may love a place, but you might not be able to afford it, right? So it's also important to understand that on every $100,000 that you borrow, that's depending on the rate that you're getting, it's anywhere from $567 to $713. Right. So that's also a good number fact to know. And more importantly, especially we talked about this actually every week, is when you are basically working with a buyer and basically they're in the opportunity and they're in an offer, and then that seller is coming back and asking for $10,000 more or $20,000 more or $30,000 more. What does that actually mean as far as money coming out of your pocket? Right. And really important thing to understand is that on every $10,000 that is being borrowed, that's roughly $57 to $72 based on today's rates, as far as what that is coming out of your pocket. So I always tell clients and realtors that we work with is when you are working with buyers and you are in the art of negotiation with a seller, and then that seller is coming back to you and say, hey, we want $30,000 more. When you go to your client, $30,000 is a good chunk of change.
Yeah.
And not to minimize that, I think it's more important to go back to the buyers to say, hey, you know, do you think you can afford anywhere from $180 to $210 more a month? And then if the answer to that is yes, then you approach it with, hey, well, they're asking for $30,000 more, right?
Yeah.
And because I find that if you are going to a buyer and saying, hey, they want $30,000 more, it's such a huge number. It seems like it's unimaginable that you're going to be able to borrow that much more money or come up with that much money. But when you break it down and understand that on every $10,000, it's $57 to $72. And if you can afford that, then you can have that discussion as far as, okay, yes, this is something that we can work with. And on the other side too, Alistair, is if you can't afford it, you know your answer really, really quick.
No, it's true. And I'm glad you brought up the affordability, because that's something that I stress with my clients as well so much, is look at the affordability right now. Focus on affordability. Don't focus on the rate number, because that's crazy. It's nuts. It makes you want to pull your hair out. That's why I'm bald, right? And just like you said, you get like the whole number of $30,000, $50,000 is such a ginormous number. It makes your hair fall out, or it makes smoke come out of your ears, right? So focus on that affordability number. Because in the upcoming future, it's not going to be at the end of this year, so let's not go crazy, right? But in the upcoming future, these rates are going to go down. You're going to have to redo your mortgage. So your affordability is going to actually get better. And what you're going to have done now is been able to get into a market, right? And as opposed to maybe being priced out of a market, right? Because when houses seemingly become affordable from a mortgage standpoint, it's because the cost of that house to buy it now is super high, right? Like, do you know what I mean? When mortgage rates, this is what I tell people, when mortgage rates go down, it's great, but the value of that home now has just gone up like bananas, right? So think of it the reverse, right? When any smart investor, right, what do? You buy low and you sell high. So when properties, yes, are at their lowest mark, your interest rate, as long as you can afford it, you're getting your investment, right? Whether it be your forever home or your investment home, right? Yeah. You're getting it for its lowest value. So all it can do now is increase. And your affordability now changes, because you gained equity, the rates have gone down, so your wallet book, there's been an ease on your pocket, right? And you're winning.
Yeah.
All centered around affordability.
Yeah. Warren Buffett has one of my favorite quotes, and I'm kind of paraphrasing here. Be greedy when people are fearful, and be fearful when people are greedy.
Right. That's great. Yeah, I love that.
So, you know, to your point is when people are waiting for rates to go down, the housing prices are going to go up.
Yep.
When rates are high, your housing prices are going to stay flat or lower. Yep. So again, the appreciation of a home is anywhere, again, depending on who you talk to, 4 to 7% annually. And I always say 95% of your net worth will come from the sales and the purchases of the homes that you own throughout your lifetime, not your employment income.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. Other thing that I want to talk about too, just because we're in that stage of how much can I afford? Alistair, have you ever heard any of your clients say, you know what, I'm not debt servicing? My lender is telling me I don't debt service. And I know people are saying, what the hell does that mean?
That mean? Yeah. I know the blank stare. What does that even mean? I don't debt service.
Like, yeah. I don't debt service.
Am I supposed to buy my debt breakfast? Like, I don't know what that means. Yeah.
Well, and I want to explain to you, you know, depending on your credit score, if you have a credit score of 680 and higher, you're allowed to have your gross debt servicing. And let's break it down into real simple language. Gross debt servicing means your housing costs. Okay. And that includes your mortgage payment, your property tax payments, your heating cost, and strata fees, if applicable. Now, your gross debt servicing, depending on your credit score, and let's just hypothetically say your credit score is 680 and higher, 39% of your income can go towards your housing costs. Now, if your credit score is below 680, only 35% of your income can go towards housing costs. And remember, GDS, they'll call it GDS, gross debt servicing, in real simple language, that's housing costs, okay? Right. How much of your income, depending on your credit score, 35 to 39%, how much of that income can go towards your mortgage payment, your property tax payments, your heating costs, and if applicable, strata fees. And if it's over 39%, depending on your down payment, you're going to get declined for that financing.
Okay.
The other part of debt servicing is called TDS. And TDS means what is your total debt cost? So that includes all your housing costs, right? What we just talked about. Yeah. Includes all your debt payments, credit cards, loans, student loans. And again, depending on your credit score, if you got a credit score of 680 and higher, 44% of your income can go towards your total debt costs. And if you have your credit score less than 680, then only 42% can go. And if you're, and if you go over that 44%, and again, keep it in simple terms, you are going to get declined for financing. Now, there is an exception to that rule, Alistair. And now you're going to say, Jeff, well, what is it?
What is it?
What is it?
What is it? It
comes down to your down payment. If you have 20% or more, then basically there can be exceptions to the debt servicing. So again, I want people to understand is that when they are working with a lending partner, when they are working with their bank or credit union, when they are working with their broker, and they're coming back to you and say, you know what, this isn't working because of debt servicing, understand what debt servicing means, but also understand that if you have 20% down payment or more, there is another financing solution for you, and or you're going to get exceptions with banks and or credit unions.
Okay.
And if that isn't being explained to you, and you are the captain of this ship, then that becomes on you. Now, again, knowledge is power. If you don't know, then
you don't know what questions to ask. And that, again, is very important to know what questions to ask.
And then you're not listening to this pod.
That's what I was just going to say. That's why you need to be listening to this.
Right? And sharing it.
Right? Yes.
Because, again, debt servicing, if we're hearing that you're not qualifying because of debt servicing, and if you have 20% down, there could be an alternate solution for you, right? There still can be an alternate solution for you if you don't have 20% down, because lenders look at debt in all different ways. So again, TD will look at it at a line of credit differently than what Scotia will look at. When it comes down to rental income, Equitable Bank may look at it differently than how Envision Credit Union looks at it. And that is one of the advantages of working with a broker that has access to over 40 different lenders, because I'm not going to say all 40 look at debt differently, but I'm going to say there is a good handful that will take a look at that debt differently that might turn that no into a yes because of debt servicing. Sure.
That's awesome, man.
Right.
That's why people got to talk to you. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
No, exactly. I'm dead serious. That's not even like, I say it like in fun, but it's not in fun. It's dead. I'm dead serious. Right. This is, again, why we do this, is that so you can understand that, you know, one degree of separation from the people that you're going to be working with, why it's so important, right, to know that the people that are working for you on the biggest purchase of your life, man, that they know these things.
Well, and here's the other thing. We did a podcast, and I had a comment from somebody in regards to down payment.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Down payment, so important for us to remind ourselves, is that if you are living in it and that property is less than $1 million, it can be your 15th house, Alistair. Providing that you're living in and you qualify, you can put down as little as 5% on the first 500,000 and then 10% on the remainder. So many people think that is only for a first-time home buyer, right? Down payment, if you are living in it, you can come in with as little as 5% down on the first 500,000, 10% on the remainder. Again, so many people believe that if they bought their first house, now they're going on to their second house, they have to put an automatic 20% down, which is not the case.
Okay. That's good to know, my man. That's good to know. That's good to know.
I'm going to keep on going because I'm on a roll.
You go ahead, man. You go ahead.
The biggest stress about doing a mortgage, what do you think it is?
The paperwork, man.
It's the paperwork, right?
You betcha.
The paperwork is the biggest stress of a mortgage process because it can be pay stubs, it can be job letters, it can be notice of assessments, it can be T1 generals, it can be your T4s, it could be your T4As, it could be your child tax benefit summaries, it could be your child's birth certificates, it could be statements on debt that you have. Paperwork is the most stressful. But guess what is the most important?
The
paperwork.
Money? Oh, paperwork. Well, yeah.
Paperwork.
Paperwork.
Because the paperwork confirms the details of the pre-approval. It dots the I's and crosses the T's.
Right.
So again, anyone that is doing a pre-approval, if you are not getting paperwork to your broker, to your lending partner, to your bank, to your credit union, and they're not asking for it.
Right.
Guess what you should do with that pre-approval?
It's garbage.
Yeah, blow your nose with it and throw it in the toilet.
It is. It's trash. It's litter.
Right.
Yeah.
Because the documents are the ones that dot the I's and crosses the T's. And again, there are so many, and you can even speak from your own experience. How many times have you worked with a client that says they're pre-approved? You put all that energy into putting an offer in place. It gets accepted. Everybody is excited about what they're doing. And then all of a sudden, what happens? The financing doesn't go through. Not because the pre-approval was done in one city and now you're going to the next. It's not being pre-approved because the documents don't match the details to the file.
And let me tell you, as a brand new agent, that happened to me quite a bit. Now, full transparency, Jeff, of course, is one of the people that I do highly suggest that my clients work with. I do have two others that I do offer as well as people, because it would not be fair as to me to push Jeff on you. I still believe that you should interview Jeff just to make sure that my recommendation is a sound one. So I do have two others that I recommend along with Jeff, but it is the same thing as realtors, right? Like it is so important to have a strong one on your team. And that is, yes, why I recommend Jeff.
Yeah. And you know, Alistair, like I know we're almost to the end, but I want to let people understand, you know, if you have a great job with good income, if you have good credit with little debt, you have a down payment, your dog can do your mortgage. It really is that easy. Well, maybe not your dog, because, you know, well, depending if you're watching Disney Channel.
That's a great dog, but man. You're marketing that dog.
Your 9-year-old kid can do the mortgage, right? I won't say they can figure it out. So it doesn't take, it should not ever take more. You know, we do pre-approvals in 4 business hours, right? We can basically give you an understanding within 10 minutes with a discovery call if you're going to be able to do what you want to do. But at the end of the day, guys, like if you are working with somebody, if you are doing a pre-approval and it's taking days for them to get back to you, be a true captain of your ship, make them walk the plank, get them off the ship, and basically bring somebody on that's going to sail you to success.
There you go. There you go. Well said, my man. Well said. That is fantastic.
And one last thing, our Canadian Mortgage Awards are coming up this week in Toronto. Been nominated this year for Mortgage Broker of the Year, Regional, Woo! British Columbia.
Congratulations.
Also a finalist for Mortgage Broker or Canadian Mortgage Broker of the Year for private, on the private side. So again, send good vibes.
Let's hey, man.
Some hard work.
That's congratulations, man. It's all that hard work that's paying off. That is fantastic. Before we get out of here, I don't ever like to make things political, of course, by any means. But Canada released its 2024 budget. And so it was titled something that made me upset. And so I'm not going to speak on it because I'm just going to remain balanced here. But Canada's budget was titled Fairness for Every Generation.
Oh boy.
So that's what Canada titled it. So I just like to kind of state that despite its promise of fairness for every generation, it seems to unfairly target homeowners and potential buyers with really increased tax burdens, and while offering little intangible benefits for those looking to secure any housing in an already challenging market that we've got right now, right? So I'm gonna say, while fairness for every generation is a commendable goal, it is still necessary that we question whether these changes that they've put in truly align with that ethos. Is it, no, like seriously, is it fair to place higher tax burdens on individuals and entities while at the same time potentially stifling growth in the real estate market? And I'm not saying that because I'm a realtor. I'm literally saying that because of people that own their homes and rely on this home for their retirement. This has got me hot. This is why I left it for the end, and I don't want to, and I'm like, we might talk on this later, but it's crazy.
This reminds me where we should pull out that conversation we had when we were going to do the pod and we just got on a tangent.
I'm telling you, man, like shouldn't fairness extend to ensure that policy changes support the long-term health of the industry and its participants? Right. So let's not overlook the need for greater spending accountability and efficiency to genuinely achieve fairness for all generations. Right. If we want fairness for all generations, then let's look at spending accountability and let's look at policies that are being put in place. Right. Let's do that.
Yeah. Well said.
I'm just saying, man, I'm just saying that fairness for all generations, man, I'm sorry.
Sounds good.
That got me hot, man. That's what I mean. It sounds good. Make sure you read. I'm not saying what side I'm aligning on or anything like that. There's nothing in there. I'm talking because I am here to help and to break it down for people. So read between the lines at the people that are getting hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Ask questions.
Exactly. Amazing, my man. Well, we ran a little bit over time. Again, sorry for my rant at the end. Jeff, as always, thank you so much for your amazing insights. I wish you have an amazing week, my man. I wish all of you guys an amazing week. Again, you can find us on iHeartRadio, Amazon, YouTube, soon to be Spotify. I'm missing one, I think. We're starting to reach all over. This is crazy and fun. I hope, again, we've been able to add value to your day, to your week. That's something that we try to do, we want to do, and we aspire to do. So thank you, Jeff, as always. Thank you, everybody. Have an amazing day.
We'll chat soon. As my good buddy says, y'all have a nice day.
Right on, man.
Okay.
Take care. Cheers.